to Women Worth Knowing, the radio program and podcast hosted by Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn.
Hello again, beautiful listeners. We are so glad you're back for part three on Mabel Francis. This woman is remarkable. She has spent decades in Japan as a missionary, knowing that that's where God called her. And when World War II broke out, Pearl Harbor is bombed, and yet both Mabel and her sister Anne have chosen to stay in Japan. These are their people. This is their home. And it's going to get pretty intense, isn't it, Cheryl?
It is, because, you know, now she's been arrested and she's in prison, but she's really excited because at least she's with her sister.
Yes.
So they're in a Japanese prison. Well, actually, what they're in is they're in like a, it was like a convent. And, but they're, they have one, there are so many people that her sister Anne has to sleep in the hall. You're just finding any place on the floor with your futon that you can be. So they're at a convent with a Catholic orphanage. So Mabel at that point asked a guard if he would help her with her trunk, because Mabel's now in her 60s, if he would carry it. And this is what the guard said to her: "Who do you think you are? You are just an enemy national. Carry your own trunk." Mabel prayed and asked the Lord to help her forgive and be a witness of his love. In her book, One Shall Chase a Thousand, she talks about her personal struggle to love and how she never showed any unforgiveness or any animosity, that she prayed, like, even when she would feel like a grrr inside, the Lord would help her not to show it and help to change her attitude, so she was loving on the guards. So when Mabel looked out the window, this is when she sees her sister. She saw a group of prisoners arriving. Among the new prisoners, she saw her sister Anne. Again, the prison was overly crowded, 150 prisoners. 90 of those prisoners were nuns and the rest were Protestants. And the only place for Anne to sleep was in the hallway. But they were blessed to be together. Yeah. One more opportunity came. Now they're already in prison. They're already getting prison rations. And another opportunity comes that they can return to the U.S. on the Swedish ship, the Gripsholm. And many of the nuns took that opportunity and some of the Protestants left. But Anne and Mabel chose to stay.
Really? Wow.
But after those others departed, the conditions in the prison grew worse. Nevertheless, they felt like they had obeyed God in staying. Soon, they were given a Swiss monk to oversee the prison. They had their own cook, and the food was tolerable. But the monk was able to procure some jam and treats from the American embassy. And they were allowed to read books. Mabel read American history and learned a bit of French from the French nuns. As the months passed, the food got worse. Their cook was not soaking or cooking the soybeans long enough, and they were really, really inedible. Mm. Sometimes they were ground up and put into a soup, and that was when they were edible. Now, international law dictated that every prisoner receive at least 2 pieces of bread a day. However, as the war dragged on, now remember, she's going to be in prison for 4 years. Flour was substituted with peanut shucks and ground corn cobs. Can you imagine? At noon, they had watered-down cup of rice. Now, if you wanted to sleep at night or have any food, you had to save some of those morning and afternoon rations for the evening. One day, the guard announced that there would be no food for the prisoners because there simply wasn't any. Mabel and Anne prayed, and a neighbor of this Catholic orphanage had a bunch of spinach that she collected from her garden, and she brought it to this orphanage. Anne and Mabel were so grateful, and they learned to be grateful for stem sprouts, orange peels, and sweet potatoes. There was no salt except a dirty chunk of hard salt that was given to animals, but Mabel and Anne didn't care. It was salt. After a time, they began to receive boxes of food from the International Red Cross. The occasional treats helped them to survive. However, they learned that during this time, the cook was selling most of the supplies that were given by the Red Cross
yeah.
and absconding with the money. But the man in charge of the camp was good and considerate. And sometimes he could be a little dismissive of their needs, but they still resolved that he was good. And he took care of that cook who was cheating them out of the Red Cross supplies. The prisoners were allowed some money, and this man, the warden, would often buy the supplies they needed. So they got really close to him. Both Anne and Mabel shared the gospel with him. Later, after the war, that same warden became a Christian and served in the church.
Really?
And this is what he testified. I saw that you people had something that I didn't know anything about. That something, I love this, was the love of God. And it made it possible for the Christians in the camp to love their enemies.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
By the summer of 1945, and I'm skipping through a lot that you would find in One Shall Chase a Thousand, American B-29 bombers were flying overhead, and fires were burning all around Tokyo, and the city was in ruins.
Yeah.
Sirens were a regular occasion and warned that American planes were overhead. Mabel and Anne spent all these years in prison, and Mabel was now 65 years old.
Mm.
However, her thoughts were not focused on her own condition, but how after the Japanese lost the war and the humiliation was over, how she could minister to them. Because she knew the Japanese perspective and the Japanese
sure,
thought process.
So immersed in the culture mm-hmm. now. She knew how.
Right.
They had the
honor and shame
yes.
culture.
Yes.
And she knew that they would be so humiliated
yeah.
that they would need to be encouraged after that. After the emperor's palace was bombed, as well as the houses where the officials lived, they showed up at her prison and ordered the prisoners to just start walking. They didn't even know where they were going to take the prisoners. And as she was walking, she saw all the burning streets and mothers crying with their children.
Oh.
They spent the night in a Franciscan hospital. All the prisoners were in one room. On August 6th of 1945, the atomic bomb mm-hmm. was dropped on Japan. Imagine, she lived there then. Before the bomb dropped, most of the Japanese leaders, with the exception of a few military personnel, were ready to surrender. Then came the day when the emperor came on the radio, his voice cracking with sorrow, and apologized to the Japanese people. We are keenly aware of you, our subjects. However, it is according to the dictate of time and fate that we have resolved to pave the way for a grand peace for all generations to come by enduring the unendurable and suffering the insufferable. 2 weeks later, after the war ended, the sisters were still in prison. American planes began to drop parcels, but as these boxes were dropped, most of them burst.
Oh,
so
no.
Everything was ruined.
Oh.
The Japanese commander of the camp had gotten some clothes from one of the boxes and dressed in just this finery. He came to Mabel and to Anne and said, "My dear ladies, you are now free." So they left the prison, but there was chaos everywhere. The only transportation available was the train, and that was a nightmare.
Mm.
However, when General Douglas MacArthur arrived, he announced, "Let's get the missionaries back in Japan. There is a vacuum here that only missionaries can fill."
Oh, that's
Mabel
amazing.
And Anne were already there,
yeah.
all alone, no mission board or support, but God was with them.
Yeah.
God gave them 2 Chronicles 16:9. I love how these women live by the promises of God.
Yes.
That's their sustainment. "The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him."
So good.
One day while Mabel was on the train, a group of American soldiers spotted her and followed her because they concluded she must be a missionary. They stopped her and they said, "We didn't know where to get a hold of an American missionary, but we are looking for a place where we can meet and go on with our gospel hour, which we started in the Philippines. She took the men to the Japanese pastor of the First Methodist Church on Main Street of Tokyo. There was a big hole in the church roof from a bomb, yet the people continued to meet and praise the Lord. Soon about 400 American soldiers were meeting there for gospel services.
Oh, that's remarkable.
Mm-hmm. When the Japanese found out that they were also welcome, they came too. Though they didn't understand English, the demeanor and kindness of the soldiers and their love spoke volumes to the people. The people of Japan have been told, oh, when the Americans come, they're going to humiliate you because you're the losers. You're the losers. And now here are these soldiers that are coming. They're helping rebuild their houses.
They came with love.
They came with love and respect and kindness.
Yeah.
And they were so taken in and overawed because this was not what they were told. This was not what they expected. In February of 1946, Anne and Mabel were finally able to get to the believers in Matsuyama, and that's where Mabel had lived before. They had been concerned about how the believers there were faring. When they got there, everything was gone. Everything.
Oh.
Only one house was still standing in the center of a neighborhood. And it was the very house that Mabel had lived. Now, during that time—
You're kidding.
Nope.
That's the only place it remained standing. Mm-hmm.
And the Japanese would put strips of paper to kind of paste their house back together.
Mm.
And the woman who owned this house where Mabel had lived, she put these strips of paper, but she wrote this on the strips. The battle is not yours, but God. And you shall not need to fight this battle. The Lord your God, he is the one who fights for you.
Wow.
She had an upstairs room in this house that became Mabel and Anne's home for the next few years. They prayed about how to get the church back up and running in Matsuyama. And Mabel was able to get some land, but they were not building materials among any of the Japanese.
Yeah.
She went to the British military base and she asked for it. And she met this Irishman and he was like, are you crazy? And then he said, wait a second. And they remembered that they had a building on the site that was due for demolition. So he said, if you can take this building down, and he's talking to two old ladies, you know, in their 60s.
Yep.
If you can dismantle this building and you can haul it away, you can have all the building supplies. Well, when the GIs on the base found out, the soldiers found out on the base what they were doing, they came and showed up to help them dismantle this whole building. They put it on a truck and they took it to the property. But now Mabel and Anne didn't have the money for it, but the soldiers took up an offering to help them build it.
Mm.
And then they helped them build the new church. And not only that, the colonel also gave them some eggs and food supplies. So soon the church in Matsuyama was up and running. At this time, Mabel and Anne felt the Lord leading them to go back to Tokyo. They made their way to Tokyo, but they needed money and decided to wire their brother Tom for support. However, they sadly learned that Tom had died during the war of a heart attack.
Oh.
Yet, when they reached Tokyo, almost immediately they ran into one of the young men that they had met right after the war. One that was one of the young men that Mabel had taken to the Methodist church. He took them to a gospel meeting where he had the women share about their mission and desire to build a church in Tokyo. They told Mabel and her sister that they wanted to help, and they took up an offering. And that night, they received $550 to help build the church, to finish the church in Matsuyama, debt-free, and to start building a church in Tokyo.
Hmm.
Mabel then felt led to go to Hiroshima. There once had been a Bible college there. When Mabel arrived, she was struck by the devastation. Hiroshima had once been a beautiful city. Now it was burned out ruins.
Mm.
She couldn't find anyone she knew. She wanted to stay, but was told there was simply not any place to stay. She returned a second time, and it was only on her third visit that she found someone she knew. She asked if she could stay with that family, but he said, all I have is a small shack. And yet he said, but you're welcome to stay with us. After a time, the Lord brought her a young man named Tsutiki Oi. His father had been a dynamic pastor who was in prison because of his faith during the war. His father was weak and in bad health, but still desired to preach the gospel. I know your work and your faith. I would very much like to join you and take up the work in Hiroshima. But Mabel was unable to offer him his salary because she didn't have any money.
No.
And she said, I have to trust God for my living from day to day. Mr. Oi said yes. And as they prayed, Mr. Oi's uncle, an American citizen who had been stranded in Japan during the war, got his visa to return to the U.S. He had gathered all the materials to make himself a two-room house, and now he didn't need them. He gave all the supplies to his nephew, so Mr. Oi was able to build a little house while the church was being built in Hiroshima. Miraculously, God supplied a builder, and every time the builder needed his money, God miraculously supplied the money and the supplies. When the church was up, one of the girls from a high-class family came to church. She had been terribly burned when the atomic bomb was dropped, and because of her scar, she had not gone out publicly until the church opened. Before the meeting was over, the young woman bravely stepped to the front of the church to receive Jesus. I never thought I would thank God or anyone else for these scars, but tonight, in the depths of my being, I thought that if this had not happened to me, I might never have heard this wonderful message about God. The young woman received Jesus and died a few days later from her injuries.
Wow.
At this point, Mabel and Anne began to receive invitations from all over Japan to come and speak to different groups. Anne had been a teacher and often was called upon to speak to elite men. Mabel had a heart for the women of Japan. There it is. Mabel was asked to lecture on education and democracy, but she always turned those into an opportunity to share the gospel. She received so many requests to speak that she was given a government official to be her constant companion. He would carry her trunk all over and make sure that she had reservations and a place to sit on every train and every type of transportation. Mabel and Anne lived for 4 years in that small little room at Matsuyama. Then Mabel fell down and was badly injured, and she had to rest in order to heal. During that time, God spoke to her and told her that it was time to build her own house. Mabel had no money.
They had just lived on faith all these years.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord provided.
That's right. A pastor of a church offered Mabel property on the church grounds. If she built there, she wouldn't have to pay taxes, and it would be so close to the church. Plans were drawn up, and the money came incrementally just when the bill was due. When the house was finished, it was already completely paid for. Anne and Mabel offered English classes for women in their house, where they also taught the Bible. Now, a man came to them from a village nearby and asked them to build a church there. I am not a Christian, but I own land, and there isn't a church up here. I have noticed that wherever there is a church, the standard of the community rises, and I want a church in our village. Next, Mabel felt led to start a kindergarten. The Lord provided the money to build a kindergarten, and they were able to hire Christian women as the teachers. By the time that Mabel and Anne finally retired, there were over 93 children enrolled in that kindergarten. Mabel would share, "There is a better way than what you have known. Put your faith in God, the living and true God, and the meaning of existence will no longer be a puzzle to you." The nation's highest officials were aware of the contributions that Mabel made to their country. In 1962, Mabel is 82 years old. She was honored by the Japanese government. It was an impressive ceremony, and Mabel was presented with a parchment scroll and the emperor's seal. The parchment detailed her service to the Japanese people. She also received a gold medal, conferring on her the unique honor of membership in the exclusive Fifth Order of the Sacred Treasure. Not only was she the first foreigner to receive this award, but she was the first person living to receive this award. All the other recipients had had to die first.
It's amazing. Wow.
They announced she gave both materially and spiritually to the welfare of the Japanese people, especially at the close of the war, in the time of defeat when the Japanese people were in extreme distress and bewilderment. She traveled and widely gave the unprecedented assistance and encouragement to our people by her Christian faith. In 1964, both Mabel and Anne were feeling it was time to return to the U.S.
Wow.
Mabel had been serving in Japan for 55 years and Anne for 42. Anne had mastered the Japanese language and was teaching the Bible at the College of Hiroshima. One day she slipped and broke her arm. Mabel, too, was having heart issues. By 1965, Anne's health was declining while Mabel had fully recovered. However, Mabel felt she needed to take her younger sister back to the U.S. Mabel dreaded this day and hoped it would never come, but the Lord overwhelmed her with his peace, and she knew she was supposed to return to the U.S. When the people of Matsuyama learned that the two elderly missionary ladies were returning to the U.S., there was a lot of attention. Mm-hmm. They were asked to do radio and television interviews, and they were able to share the gospel to thousands who would never enter a church. The governor and other dignitaries held a ceremony to say goodbye to Mabel and Anne. And Mabel also had several opportunities to speak to the Japanese officials, where she would remind them, God has created you, the Japanese nation. There is not another people like you. You are a peculiar nation, and God has an intense love for you. The reason Japan is hemmed in on these little islands is because you haven't the love that goes out and loves the world. If only the Japanese love God, oh, what they could do for the world.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Anne and Mabel left Japan September 6, 1965. Mabel was 85. They went to Toledo, Ohio, where Tom had lived, and they stayed in a basement apartment of a Christian couple. On December 28, 1965, the two sisters spent some time in prayer. Anne seemed especially bright that day, but while they were eating lunch and reading over some letters, Anne suddenly collapsed and went straight into the presence of the Lord. Mabel would later say she felt a little like Elisha when Elijah was taken up to heaven in the whirlwind. She missed her sister Anne. However, Mabel did not slow down. She became a popular and in-demand speaker in the United States.
Of course.
She traveled from coast to coast sharing with Christians and non-Christians. She spoke at camps, conferences, churches, and wherever else she was invited. A television reporter at one of her engagements referred to her as a living doll. Well, Mabel had to get in touch with him and correct him. And she said, tell him that I'm an old war horse with still a lot to get done for the Lord. It was during this time that she wrote her autobiography. So she wrote it in her 80s.
Yeah.
One Shall Chase a Thousand. In 1969, at the age of 89, she was able to return to Japan with her niece, Ida, for a 10-month visit.
Wow. Wow.
Oh, the need I felt. Had I been younger, nothing would have induced me to leave. Mm. Everywhere she went, she was met with flowers. She was even invited to speak on Japanese television to talk about her present work in America.
Mm.
The next year, Mr. Oi, the pastor who led... who she led to the Lord and she had worked with to build the church in Matsuyama, had become the head of the Christian Missionary Alliance in Japan. He came to the U.S. to speak, and Mabel was his translator and traveled with him every place he went.
Amazing.
She and her niece Ida even accompanied him to Washington, D.C. Now, in February of 1972, Mabel went to Hawaii.
Yes.
Mabel was able to share the gospel with many of the older Japanese people who lived in Hawaii. She was 92 years old.
Wow.
After her first meeting in Honolulu, she was invited to do many, 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 many more meetings. It was busy and a heavy schedule, but Mabel loved it. She would become hoarse from speaking, rest a little bit, and then go on to speak. At this time, when she returned, she had a sore in her lip. The sore was cancerous. She had a few surgeries to take care of it. She thought maybe, you know, this was it. But God spoke to her, reminded her that he was taking care of her. She moved to Shell Point Village in Fort Myers. She's 93, to a Christian Missionary Alliance retirement community where she did Bible studies. During this time, she wrote her second book, Filled with the Spirit, Then What? After her 93rd birthday, Mabel began to weaken. In May 1974, she wrote that she had felt close to death when the Lord told her he still had work for her. Again, she led Bible studies. However, on May 12, 1975, she had just visited a sick friend when she broke her hip. After having her hip replaced, she was in recovery, and some Japanese pastors came to visit her and she said, "Now I am ready for Jesus to take me home." And she died just a day after that. That's the story of Mabel Francis. And man, it's a story of victory from 7 years old till 95. That's how I want to be.
Amen.
Don't you want to be a Mabel Francis?
Oh, yes.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. For more information on Cheryl, visit CherylBroderson.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. For more information on Robin, visit RobinGunn.com or follow her on Instagram or Facebook. Join us each week for a lively conversation as we explore the lives of well-known and not-so-well-known historical and contemporary Christian women. If you think there is a woman worth knowing, we'd love to hear from you. Email us at WWK@CCCM.com. We hope you've enjoyed today's episode. Make sure you rate us on your podcast app, subscribe, and share it with a friend. Thank you again for listening to Women Worth Knowing with Cheryl Broderson and Robin Jones Gunn. Women Worth Knowing is a production of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa.